You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
And all of God's people say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be here, and we honor the presence of God that's in this place to our president, Dr. Paige Patterson's absence, Dr. Blazing, to all distinguished guests that on the rostrum, we call it, amen, and to the people of God that have come to share in this time of celebration, we're glad to be here. You know, whenever a person gets up to preach, they have to have a clear goal of what they're trying to accomplish. I have one clear goal, and that's to get on base, not to strike out. And with your prayers, praise God, we'll be able to do such. We need you to say amen. I'm from an Afro-American church. We used to. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I will be reading at starting at verse 36. You have it, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God have made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized. That day, there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things common. And they began selling their property and possessions, were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I was walking around campus, and as I was walking, the Lord, it seemed like began to speak to me as to what to talk about this afternoon. And it seems like I could almost see it. Listen to what he said to me. Preach the word. Reach the world. There was a guy named Colonel Sanders, and Colonel Sanders made some good chicken. He was over 60 years old when he realized when he retired that his Social Security would not be able to provide for him. And then he remembered that he had a special recipe. A recipe with special herbs and spices. And all y'all know was history from there. He became rich and he became famous for his special recipe. My brothers and sisters, there is no special recipe for reaching the world. God has clearly outlined in his word the ingredients that are needed to reach the world. The problem is the world is not being reached is because we're not following the recipe. In order to reach the world that we live in, first of all, you need the Holy Spirit. Tap your neighbor and say, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. In order to have the Holy Spirit come into your life, you need to be saved. Now, you know, presumption is just because you come to college or to seminary, the assumption is that you are saved. And there are a lot of people that have started out trying to preach a gospel and then find out that they themselves had never made a commitment to Christ. So it starts with salvation, the Holy Spirit. And the moment you accept Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes and he takes up residence in your heart. Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses in this world. But before you can be my witnesses, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to move in you. You need salvation. But you also, in order to have the power of the Holy Spirit move in your life, you need to spend time with God. Andre Crouch used to sing this song, Quiet Time. He says, in that quiet time, you put that sparkle back in my eye. He said, that's when you tell me that you love me. And you remind me that I love you too. Together, there's nothing we can't do. He said, oh, don't take them away from me, oh Lord. Don't take them away from me. And it's interesting. Many times in all that we do, many times we forget that we need to spend time with God. Notice what it said, they gave themselves to prayer. They spent time in the presence of God. How many sermons have been preached without prayer? How many times have people tried to do the will of God and to share the gospel, but it was not bathed with prayer? That comes, the power of God comes through spending time with God. Tap your neighbor and say, you need the Holy Spirit. The second ingredient is that you need a simple gospel message. Notice, Peter preached a simple message of Christ crucified and risen again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, now I've made known to you, brother, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I've delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Notice how simple the message is. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again from the grave. I'll never forget when I first came out of college, I was asked to preach what we call in our church the last seven words. It's a Good Friday service. And I never forget coming from school, and I came to the pulpit with about four different books. Had them all lined on the pulpit. And I was going through all this deep stuff. I'll never forget my mother after the sermon. She said, Georgie, she said, I, I, I believe you knew what you were talking about. She said, and I might have known what were you were talking about. He said, but I don't think nobody else. Tap your neighbor and say, K-I-S-S. Come on, tap and say, K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, Sam. And in order to reach the world, the message has to be simple. And it's so simple that the Jews stumble over it. And the Greeks call it foolishness. But to us that are saved, I said to us that are saved, it's the power of God. And so in order to transform this world, we need the Spirit. We need a simple gospel message. But then third, we need sound doctrine. Notice, they gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine. It is important in the day and age we live in that we have sound doctrine. Because the Bible said the time is already here when men will not endure sound teaching. They will not endure sound doctrine. And so if we're going to change the world, we've got to rightly divide the word of truth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, in order to do that, you've got to do something a nasty word that you may not want to hear. It's a word called study. Now, I want to say something to you, because many people are guilty of just studying for sermons. That our purpose for study should be because it pleases God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice our motivation for studying shouldn't be to impress others with what we know. But our purpose for studying is because it pleases God. For in the process of study, God begins to reveal himself to us. We begin to learn who God is, what God has done through our studies. So tap your neighbor and say, study, 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 study. There's so much nonsense being preached over pulpits these days. This prosperity gospel. And it's like Paul would say to those in Galatia, it's not even a gospel at all. And so many people buy in and flock to it. Because people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to have a gospel that identifies sin. And a gospel that tells us to repent. In the turn array. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so, if we're going to reach the world, we've got to give them the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so, we need sound doctrine. But the purpose of sound doctrine is forth so that we might live sanctified lives. Notice, they broke bread from house to house. I believe there was something about their fellowship, their koinonia, that in their fellowship there was transparency. Because there's something about when you let somebody in your house, they get a chance to see how you live. Yeah, some believers, I'm not talking about you. You go in their house, they got to put away some things. But if we're going to win the world, our lives, the Bible says we're living epistles read by men. They've got to see people that are not only talking the talk. Oh, talk back to me, somebody. But who are also walking the walk. Oh, God expects us to live sanctified. James, the brother of our Lord, said, faith without works is dead. Living holy lives is what God desires from us. Somebody said, God did not save us by grace to live disgraceful. He saved us by grace so that we might live holy lives. But then finally, not found in this particular text, but it's paramount to changing the world. If you're going to change the world, you got to be willing to suffer. Tap your neighbor and say, you got to suffer. Most people want a gospel, but a gospel that's separated from suffering. When you get to Acts chapter 4, you found out they were threatened. And as you go through the book of Acts, you find out and look at the life of Paul that he suffered a lot of things, a lot of losses. One pastor said, oh, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection. But he also said the fellowship of his sufferings. And Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. There is a cost to have the privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is a privilege to share the good news. We have wonderful feet, blessed feet, beautiful feet. And it's an honor to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But with that sharing, my brothers and sisters, there will come suffering. I remember when I preached at this church before I was pastoring, I was licensed to preach. And I never forget preaching from the topic, the old man is dead, from Romans chapter 6. And afterwards, I wasn't a pastor of church. The deacons had a meeting. They said, what do you mean the old man is dead? Do you hear me? Sound doctrine. And from that moment, even before that, they wanted to put me out for standing on sound doctrine. There's suffering that's involved. First church that I pastored before we found the truth, I was the second pastor of the church. And after installation night, they welcomed me with open arms by stealing my Cadillac. You come out from an installation service and there's a dry spot where my car was. The family of the former pastor, I guess I wasn't their choice. I had doors chained on me. I'm talking about physical chains. Amen. Electricity turned out on a church anniversary. I was threatened at knife point by a trustee who said he'll cut my throat. I was taken to court without church consent. Every 2 weeks they were trying to vote me out. But the Lord stood with me. And out of all that happened, the Lord, he delivered me. There's no such thing as preaching this gospel and not having some suffering. All those that live godly shall suffer persecution. I'm about ready to go to my seat. But I was thinking that I made a commitment in my life when I was 9 years old to give my life to Jesus. and to serve him. When I was 9, I had an incident that some might have said was an accident, in which I was playing, in which a splinter went in my eye and it pierced my cornea. This was in 1968. Some of you weren't even born yet. And I cried out to God, because when you go through something, it causes you to cry out to God. And I asked God to heal me of blindness in my eye. And the Lord did not heal me of physical blindness, but he allowed me to see. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The songwriter said, at the cross, when I first saw the light, in the burdens of my heart, they rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. I might have lost one thing, but I gained Jesus, and Jesus is enough. And everywhere I go, I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I preach Christ in him crucified. The gospel is able to turn your life around. The gospel is able to pick you up out the mire of sin and place your feet upon a solid rock. The gospel is able to give you peace in the midst of a storm. The gospel is able. And so I challenge you to preach the word, to reach the world every chance that you get. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that God put in your way. And God will bless you. And at the end, if you're faithful to the task, he'll say, well done. Thy good. And that's what I'm living for. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.